Luke 4. And again, let's say it like we mean it, like we believe it, like we have it. Hallelujah. Say it, repeat after me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea for you when you roll out of bed in the morning, before you get your coffee, before you open your mouth to say anything else, your feet hit the side of the bed and you say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me today because He has anointed me today to do this and do that." You reckon that that might impact your life a little bit if you do it more than just on Thursday mornings? I guarantee you it will. It just changes you. I can't tell you how many times I'm standing up, I'm getting ready to preach, and I'll just start saying this. Spirit of the Lord's upon me today because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And He sent me to do all these different things. He's equipped us to do it because faith comes by hearing. And the more you say something, you confess it to possess it. Amen? That's how you possess the promised land, is by believing that these things are true, they are real, and they are for us. Amen. Well, let's go over to Luke chapter 5. Luke, the 5th chapter this morning. And like I said, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about these things that I just mentioned, about the importance of hearing something continuously and the part that it plays in our life. You know, some people question, I've had people that will come to me and say, "Why do you do so much teaching and preaching? And why it seems like there's such an emphasis at High Point Church of the teaching and preaching of the Word." Well, I'll explain to you why we do that. And I'll tell you what it's not. It's not just so me, Robert, Minton, anybody else can be heard. It's not about us being able to stand up and teach you. It's because there is power in hearing the Word of God. And a lot of times people are in such a hurry to get done with the teaching and preaching of God's Word that they want to get to the real ministry time. And I'll tell people all the time, real ministry, or I'll put it this way, enduring ministry, lasting ministry is the Word of God. In fact, if you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, go and count it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go look up in your concordance how many times the Bible says Jesus preached. Then look up how many times it says Jesus taught. And then look up how many times you say He healed. And you know what you're going to find out? More than twice as many times as you see Him healing, you see Him teaching. Why? We're about to find that out this morning. So let's look here in Luke chapter 5. And I got to start in this account right here because this one's significant. Luke chapter 5 verse 12. It says, "And it happened when He, Jesus, was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored Him, saying, 'Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean.'" Now notice that when He said, "If You are willing, You can make me clean," he was still full of leprosy. Okay? So he believed and said out of his mouth, you could tell he believed it because he said it out of his mouth, that the Lord was, if He was willing, He could make him clean. So he believed that the Lord could do it, is what he's saying. I believe God can make me clean. I believe God can do anything. I believe God has all the power, all the ability, and I'm here to tell you this morning, that's about 15 cents worth of nothing to believe that.
That's right.
Joe Blow sinner out there on the street can believe God can do anything. Well, if God wants to do it, it's going to get done. Or God has the power to do everything. Everybody believes that. It doesn't take a spiritual person to believe that. But notice what Jesus said after that. He said, then he put out His hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him. So he got healed when the Lord corrected that thinking and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. When the Lord turned around and said, I am willing, and he perfected his faith, the guy ends up getting cleansed. See, you got to believe God's able, that he can do it. Absolutely, that's part of it. But what we've also got to do is have perfected, complete faith to where we believe he will do it and he wants to do it. And that's where most people are lacking. You can talk to most Christians and they're just not sure. Lord, I know you can, but I'm just not sure you will. And honestly, if we looked in our heart, do we know that? Do we believe that in our heart that he will do it, that he really wants to do it, and that he's made the provision for it to be done in our life? When you start believing that way and you start mixing that together with the fact that God can do anything, you start seeing results. It creates a dynamite effect in your life. But notice what it goes on to say. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. You know, people just can't keep good news in. Amen. When good news happens, it's just going to get out there. That's why we want to see more healings. We want to see more notable miracles, more people set free. Because, boy, it'll get out in this community, and the Lord will be glorified. Amen. That's our whole purpose. And then it says, and great multitudes came together. After they started hearing about this healing of this man who was full of leprosy, great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So I want you to notice in this verse, it tells you the two things that people came together to do with him. They came and gathered together with him to do what first? To hear. And then to be healed of all their infirmities. And there is a spiritual principle here, saints, is the way we're going to be healed of all of our infirmities is when we start hearing from Jesus. Now, it's not just the general counsel of the Word of God, the general teaching of the Word of God and things like that. That's certainly significant, and it's good that we gather together here and you hear good anointed teaching and preaching. You also need to hear from the Lord personally. Now, I told somebody that recently that, or I said, they were diagnosed with something, and it was a bad case of something, and I said, I'm going to go ahead and warn you of something, and this is good wisdom, and you need to be prepared for this yourself. I said, you're going to have a lot of people that are well-meaning, that love you, that want to see you helped, come to you and give you all kinds of advice. You need to read this scripture. You need to do this. You need to listen to this preacher. You need to go to this meeting. You need to go to this ministry. And they mean well, okay? But what you got to do is you got to get alone with the Lord. And you say, Lord, what is your battle plan for this situation? What do you say, Lord? What is your word? Because one word from God can absolutely change your life. Amen? So we've got to learn to hear from the Lord ourselves while we're here in the general counsel of the Word. And I've got this little unwritten policy here. And you ready for this? I have people that want counseling from me, okay, that don't come to church. And you know what I say? I say, if you're not coming to hear the general counsel that the Lord has given this body from the pulpit, you don't get special privileges. Now, unless the Lord leads me and directs me, and he has before, that's just a general thing. I'm like, this is what the Lord is speaking to our people. This is the word that God's given to our people. And if you're not making the effort to hear that, then what makes us think you're going to hear the special one-on-one personal time that you get? You see what I'm saying? There's the value thing there. And I'm here to tell you, I see the people that get results. It's the people who come and they really hear. They're really listening. But notice this. They came to hear and to be healed by them of their infirmities. So the hearing came first, then the healing came second. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Then we actually have an example. In the very next verse, we have an example of how people can hear and not hear. We're in Luke chapter 5, and now we're in verse 17. Okay? Notice what this next verse says. Now, this right here will change your theology. And it'll show you how things work in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, now it happened on a certain day. What certain day? Right after he just said that people came to hear and be healed. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, say teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Okay, stop right there. So who is present in this certain place hearing Jesus teach? It says that it's the Pharisees and teachers of the law. So this house is full of a bunch of religious people who came, and you can study other scriptures out, that they came to basically find fault with him. They were basically listening for him to say something wrong so that they could find an accusation against him. They weren't coming with ears to hear. But this is what's so awesome to me. This expresses fully to us the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because notice what the last part of this verse says. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Them who? Them Pharisees and teachers of the law who did not come with the right intentions, who did not come with ears to hear, who had crowded this house in, and they had come to listen to him to find fault with what he was saying. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Isn't that awesome? But here's the question. Was them getting healed? No. You don't have any record here that anybody was getting healed during this time. So what does that show us? That there can most certainly be times where the power of the Lord is present in a place like this church to heal every person with every sickness, every disease, and every infirmity, and we not receive. See, what that does is that totally erases the whole idea of, well, if God wants it done, it's going to get done. And all this different stuff and just throwing it over on God, that if he's going to want it to happen. Now, there are gifts of the Spirit. There are gifts of healings. And there are things that God does where he totally goes against the natural and spiritual laws that he has set up. That happens. But you can't live your life that way, depending on those things, because those things are not as you will. Those things are as he wills and as he sees fit in his eternal plan and purpose. But there is a way for you to be able to get it anytime you want, whenever you want. And when is it? When you have ears to hear what the Master's saying in that time. See, I guarantee you, if these people would have came with the listening ears that they should have had, and they came with the respect for the Master and the word that was coming forth, and they were valuing what they were hearing and they were receiving it, then they would have been in position to receive the power that was already present to heal every single one of them. Amen. So this is a biblical principle that we see here, that hearing is directly attributed to healing. In fact, if you look at the word hearing and healing, there's only one word difference. It's the L and the R. Amen? So they are inexplicably intertwined for us to know. And it's not just for physical healing. It's for anything that we need to have from God. It comes by hearing the Word of God. Now, we're going to look at some scriptures on this. Let's go over to Mark chapter 4. We're going to do a little teaching this morning. I know y'all like me to get a little more excited than this, and I'm not promising that we won't, but we need to learn. How many of you want to get better results in your life? Amen. Now, you understand that the way you want to get God's results, or how you're going to get God's results, is to do things God's way. Amen. If you're not doing things God's way, you're not going to get God's results. Right. And God has set up spiritual laws in his spiritual everlasting kingdom of how things work consistently. And I'll quote this scripture to you over there in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. Very powerful scripture. We spent a lot of time talking about this when we started this healing school back. But it says this, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them." They what? They his words and they his sayings. They are life to those who find them. Not for who God decides to provide life for. If you find his words, they will produce life in you. If you hear his words, they will produce life in you. And then he goes, and they are medicine to all their flesh. It says health in the Hebrew, in the King James, but in the Hebrew it literally means medicine. Amen. So it's kind of like this. God's saying, all right, I got you my medicine bottle right here. And on the front it says Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. Okay? And it says, this is how to have medicine to all your flesh. This is medicine for all your flesh. And then you know how you turn the bottle around and you read the little fine print of the directions of how to take them. And it says, take 2 capsules daily with a full stomach or a full glass of water or whatever. Well, God's little instructions on the back says, this is how you take this medicine for all your flesh. He says, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's the directions for taking God's medicine. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. So here's the thing. Just like it is with a doctor can come and tell you, all right, take 2 of these every morning. If you just say, I'm not going to take that medicine, it's not the doctor's fault you stay sick. Is it? We wouldn't think that in the natural, but if God tells us in that scripture that this is how you take my medicine and it is health to all your flesh, every single physical ailment you have, every single physical problem you have, if this is how you take it, if you're not getting healed and you're not receiving the medicine, it's not God's fault. Amen. It's tight, but it's right. I know that's a hard saying, but this is something we've got to receive. God has put it forth to us in his word. This is how one receives healing. And it works for everybody, just like the medicine does. All you got to do when it comes to a physical pill, you have to swallow it, right? It's got to go through your mouth gate. It goes down in your belly, and your belly assimilates it in the rest of your body. Well, that's exactly what Solomon was saying there. Give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Right there, what you have is you have attention, you have your ears, and you have your eyes. Your ears, listen to this. This is good. Your ears and your eyes are the gate to your heart. Yep. What you allow yourself to look at and listen to is what will determine the condition your heart's in. That's why it's important, we're going to get into this in a second, what you hear and how you hear it. Amen. But when it gets down, keeping it in the midst of your heart, that's like your spiritual stomach. Because when it gets down in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, are the issues of life and all these different things. So what are we seeing? That the heart transforms everything else out here. Amen. Praise God. So let's go over here to Mark 4, and let's look at something. The Lord's talking to us this morning, and he's trying to get us back refocused and repositioned to how we receive. Amen. Verse 23. Now, this is a scripture that you see the Master saying time and time again. And it's super significant. He's not just saying it to be poetic and to get people's attention. He's saying it because it is a valid spiritual point. He says in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, granted, who was it that he was talking to most of the time that he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? He was oftentimes talking to people who had left their jobs, their families, and all this sorts of thing, and left and came out into the wilderness on the mountainside, on the seashore, to hear the master teaching. So these are people that made some sort of effort to be there and hear the master teach, right? So they come, and he tells them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now you understand, he's not talking about these little meat flaps on the side of your head. I would venture to say that most of the people that came to hear him had 2 ears on their head. Okay? So what he's saying, though, is he who has ears to hear in here, in your heart, let him hear. Did you know you have spiritual ears? Amen. There are scriptures that indicate that your spiritual man has all the different peculiarities that your physical man has. For example, do you remember when the rich man was in Hades And he was talking to Abraham, and he talked about dip the point of your finger out there and touch my tongue. You know what that shows? That the spiritual man, because that wasn't his physical body, had a finger and had a tongue. So you can conclude that if he had a finger, he had a tongue, then he's got two ears, two eyes, and a nose. Your spiritual man has it. So what this is my point, is that you've got physical ears, but you've also got spiritual ears. So what Jesus is saying here, he who has spiritual ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? So what does that tell us? We can be hearing something physically. We can be sitting on these pews week after week, day after day, hearing the word, and it's not really being heard spiritually. It's not being heard on the inside of us. That's possible, isn't it? Or else Jesus wouldn't have said this. Well, notice this. He goes on to tell you how you can hear better. Verse 24, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Now, this is significant because we're going to find another scripture where he said it a little bit differently. But here he says, take heed what you hear. So is what you hear important? Should you be paying attention to what you are hearing? You absolutely should. I've dealt with people who are in terminal physical situations that they are going to die if something doesn't change, unless a miracle is performed, and they're going to die, and then they want to talk to you about end times prophecy. They want to talk to you about the Antichrist. They want to talk to you about water baptism. And they want to talk to you. And I'll correct them. I say, whoa, whoa, brother. You've got a major emergency in your life right now. And the last thing you need to be focused on is who the Antichrist is. You need to be learning who the Christ is, that he is your healer, and that he wants to heal you, and that he's made provision for you to be healed. See, what you hear, depending on your situation, plays a drastic role in what you receive from him. Amen. What you hear will determine what you receive. And I'll give you an example. You know, when we started this healing school, one of the reasons I was so excited about starting healing school, you know what it was? One of it was selfish reasons. And you know what it was? I knew that I'm going to have to focus on healing week in and week out. This is going to make me have to study the scriptures concerning healing. And guess what's happened as a byproduct of it? I hadn't been sick since we started this healing school. And usually I'll have, you know, something hit me maybe once a year or something like that. It just hadn't happened. Why? Because I've been positioned to hear the word concerning healing. And by doing that, it produced change in my life. A minister that I get a lot out of, Keith Moore, in Branson, Missouri, he's a pastor. He used to teach healing school for Brother Kenneth Hagin at Rhema for years. And they actually had healing school 5 days a week. So you can imagine the benefit he was getting. He was teaching it 5 days a week, okay? And he started realizing something. He used to get sick kind of periodically, and all these little sniffles would happen. You know, this time of year, the flu and all this kind of stuff would happen. And he noticed after a couple of years, he was like, man, I hadn't been sick. Those things that would come on me like clockwork every year have not been affecting me. And then he realized something. It dawned on him. He said, man, you know what, though? I hadn't been doing too good financially. He said, do you reckon if I put as much effort into hearing the truth of God's word concerning our prosperity and concerning God meeting all our needs, do you reckon I might get the same results in my finances that I've been getting in my physical body because I've been hearing the word concerning healing? And he did, and it did. It changed things. So what you hear continuously, you put your focus on, pays huge dividends. And it's not just about, though, when we're talking about hearing, coming and listening and hearing it. It's taking notes, it's listening to it time and time again, and then getting in the Word yourself, like I have to do to get these messages up, and studying to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You got to do it yourself. That's where real ears to hear, that's what those real ears to hear will do. And it produces life in you and medicine to all your flesh. Amen? So he says right here, take heed what you hear. Now notice what he goes on to say. And this has confused a lot of different people because it sounds like God's taking something away from you, but we'll explain it. With the same measure you use. Now, what is he talking about here? He just said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. So hearing must be the subject at hand here. So when he says, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, he must be talking about hearing, right? So what does it mean when he says, with the same measure? The word measure literally means this. You could translate it this way. With the same amount. With the same amount of effort. That's exactly right, Doreen. What you put in is what you get out. And what are you saying right here? With the same amount of effort that you put in, it will be given back to you that way. Not because God's sitting back there with his arms crossed and said, all right, if they grovel enough, if they do enough works, then I'm going to act on their behalf. No, it positions you to receive what his hand's already extended out for you to have. It's you. God's got his hand out all the time. Here's healing. Here's peace. Here's prosperity. Here's all the different things you need. It is out. I have put it on the table. I have prepared, thus saith the Lord, I have prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. But it is not your enemies that's keeping you from it. It's the inner me. It's how you're going to hear in your heart is going to determine what you get out of it and what you partake of. This is the children's bread, saints. Is not healing called the children's bread? And all you need is just a little crumb, like that Syrophoenician woman said. I just need a little crumb and I can get it. Glory to God. Put more effort into it. Spend the time doing it. And listen, Robert, myself, we are here as pastors of this church to answer your questions. If you've got questions, as you're studying, if you had a question regarding something that said, can you explain it to me? You are not bothering us. That is our job, to give you understanding so that those ears become more and more sensitive to the truth. So get in it for yourself and let us help you get it further on the inside of you so that it can change your life. That's what we want to see. We pray for that constantly for you guys, is that y'all grow spiritually and receive your full inheritance. So he says, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And you who hear, more will be given. Okay, so if I put forth more effort to hear, what's he saying right here? You who hear, it says, more will be given to you. More what? How about more of the ability to hear? Amen. So the more you value and prize and treasure in put your spiritual ears in position to hear, God says it will sensitize your ears to be able to hear more. So you're progressing in this whole thing. Amen? But notice it works in the exact opposite. Because then he goes on to say, for whoever has what? Ears to hear. To him more will be given. Given what? What will he be given? Ears to hear. So the person who has ears to hear will be given more of the ability to hear. Amen? But whoever does not have what? Ears to hear. Come on, everybody should be answering these questions by now. Whoever does not have ears to hear, even what he has will be taken away from him, which is what? The ability to hear. And what this describes right here is the ability that it is in each one of us to harden our heart and sensitize our heart to the truth. The greatest example I can think of this is when a mom has her baby. And that baby, when that baby's born, the baby, wah, 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 and it's annoying to everybody else. You ever notice that? You come to church sometimes and somebody will just sit there and let their baby, wah, 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 and you're like, oh my Lord, will they please take that baby out of here? But you know why they don't do it? Because they have desensitized themselves to the crying. They've hardened their heart to it. Not that they're not sensitive to the child, but they've heard it so much, it's hardened their heart to it. Did you not think that can happen with a believer? You can hear the word over and over and over. You can hear the Lord crying out to you over and over and over and harden your heart to hearing the voice of the Lord. But the good news is this works positively. Because then the devil comes, na 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 na, Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. You can hear enough of that to where you can actually desensitize yourself to when the devil's coming up and it's na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And then he starts sounding like that teacher on Peanuts. Womp, 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 womp. I can't even hear his lies no more. I can't even hear what he's telling me all more. He's trying to tell me, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to steal from you, I'm going to destroy you. And all you're hearing is womp, 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 womp. Because we've developed ears to hear the truth and not the lie. Amen. That's what we've got to grow to that point to where we're truly hearing what we're hearing. All right? Now let's go over to Luke. Let's go over to Luke. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Luke 8. Thank you, Jesus. This is another account where Jesus was teaching the same thing. But he says something a little bit different in Luke's account. And I just love this. Because we've talked about what you hear is important. And Jesus said, he commanded you, in fact, to take heed, pay attention, listen to what you're hearing. Okay? Now, in Luke's gospel, notice what he says. It's Luke chapter 8. Yeah, let's start in verse 16. Luke 8, 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be made known or come to light. Therefore, notice this, take heed how you hear. I'm in Luke 8, 18. Notice what he says here. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Now, you know there is a difference between what you hear and how you hear. Isn't that interesting? So what does that teach us right there? It's not just important what you're hearing. Amen. Now, I tell people what you're hearing is super important, and if you are in a critical position financially where life and death is hanging in the balance, then you need to be very careful what you're hearing. You better be careful about what you're sitting under. And if you're getting around all these other believers and these groups out there that say, well, you never know what God's going to do. And I'll pray for you, but Lord, we just pray that you'd give them the grace to pass on. But not our will, Lord. Your will be done in their life. And if you decide to take them up to heaven so that they can be another angel there because you need them more there than you need them here, we just ask you to give them the grace to pass on. You ever heard trash like that?
Oh, yeah.
That is nothing but religion, and it's lies, untrue. Like God needs you more in heaven. God doesn't need nothing in heaven. Nothing's needed up there. You're needed here. The Apostle Paul said that. He looks at him in Philippians chapter 1, and he said, man, I got the prospect of dying. He said, to die is far better, and I sure would love to do that. But, nevertheless, for me to stay here is more needful for you. So, I will choose to live and not die.
Right.
Paul said that. Isn't that awesome? What I choose, I cannot tell. You would think that the king, the Caesar, was the one dictating whether he was going to die or not, whether he was going to sign his death papers. No, Paul says, if I choose to live or die, showing us what? Your will plays a vital role in whether you live or don't die, or live or die. Your will. And that is a natural law. It's not even something that works. I mean, it works in the spiritual, but it works naturally. You find out somebody out there that doesn't know God from Adam, that they are diagnosed with cancer and they decide, I'm going to live and I'm going to fight it. And they fight it and they have an attitude of a fighter and they end up getting free from it. But the person that just embraces it, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got this prognosis. I'm going to die. Oh, I can't stand to die. I don't know what's going to happen. They die because they're not a fighter. What if we understand in the spiritual principles we know, we'll combine together the choice to live and not die. And there's a scripture, the prophet said it, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And I've seen that work for people, because what they'll do, they're diagnosed with something like that, and they're in a coma. And the spouse will be sitting there. They'll get that word, and the spouse will rise up and say, "They will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. They will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. They will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." And they will just say it over and over and over and over. And guess what happens? Their spouse does not die. Because it's choice. Yeah, but what about the Lord, and he's got an appointed time for every man to die? Well, thank you for bringing that scripture up. I appreciate it, because I'm going to tell you what it does not mean. Did you know the scriptures do not teach us that it is appointed unto man a specific day to die? I know people like to throw that out there, and they're quoting from Hebrews. This is what it says, though. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Meaning what? There is an appointed thing in every single person's life that they are going to die unless the Lord comes back. But there is not a specific day or a specific hour that they're going to die. Right. There might be a season, a time of departure, but not a specific time where your card's been called and your number's up and you're going to die that day. That's wrong theology. That is a lie. It's deception. And you know how I can tell you that? How many scriptures in the Word of God, and if you want these, I'll give them to you later. How many scriptures teach us that if you do this, it will prolong your days? If you do that, you will live a long life. For example, somebody who the Bible says, if you honor your mother and father, you will live long on the earth. So what does that conclude? If you don't honor your mother and father, you might not live long on the earth. And it didn't have nothing to do with God's will for you. There's other scriptures that says, bloody and thirsty men will not live out half their days. Indicating that some people cannot live the full life that God has for them. So no, that has nothing to do with God taking them.
No.
I didn't intend to go in on that, but you need to know, you need to hear that. God says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. He wants you to live a long, satisfying, fulfilling life, free from sickness, free from disease, free from infirmity, to where even you, as Caleb was well up in years, will be able to go take that mountain that's his. Where Moses, where his eyesight wasn't even dimmed, could climb up that mountain and overlook all the promised land. That's God's will. It's God's will, and I don't apologize for it. Notice this. It says, take heed how you hear. So it's important what you hear, but it's also important how you hear what you hear. So even us who are taught the truth of God's word concerning healing here on Healing School every Thursday, that's great. What you're hearing is good, but it's also important how you're hearing what you're hearing. How is it, what manner by which are you hearing it? And the reason why I bring this out, this is one of my favorite little statements to throw out, because it's true. People have the tendency to read what they believe. Or in this case, hear what they believe. And they don't really believe what they read. They hear what they believe, okay? But they're not believing what they're hearing. What do I mean by that? What's the difference? Well, it's like the person that starts getting a certain revelation on a certain subject, and then you'll talk to them, and every scripture somehow has to do something with that particular thing they're getting revelation on, because they're reading what they believe instead of taking the Word and letting the Word dictate their belief system, letting the Word transform their way of thinking. Okay? And so if the Word comes out, for example, like that scripture I threw out to you earlier, the power of the Lord was present to heal them, they weren't necessarily getting healed. We've got to erase. If that says that, then we have got to throw out that little idea that's resident down in our heart that we've been taught maybe for years and believe for years that if God wants it done, it's going to get done.
Right.
That can't be true. God wants a lot more things done. I say it this way, and this is how confident I am. If everything that happened in this world and in this life was God's will, or it's passing through His hand, and everything like that, that religion likes to throw out there, if that were true, God's doing a bad job. That's how confident I am in that. Because that's a strong statement. But listen, it's obvious everything that's happened is not God's plan and God's will or what God wants. He doesn't want people mangled and distorted, and their figures are all messed up, and people are suffering and in all this pain. No, man, Adam, the first Adam, brought that upon us. And that was never God's plan. If it were up to God, we'd still be living in the garden, eating all the trees in the garden, and hopefully resisting the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we would have all our needs met in perfect healing, perfect wholeness. We would have all things made perfect and new. That's God's will. That's what He wanted. Man calls the rest of it.
That's right.
But praise God, we can choose to still eat the fruit of the garden.
Amen.
We can. We can still have the fruit because now we have a choice and we've had provision made through the cross of Christ that all these things have been afforded to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness, every spiritual blessing, everything is ours. You have all things. So now we must choose to believe it by choosing to hear it. Amen? Let's go over to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to talk about this two kinds of hearing. What you hear and how you hear it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, y'all have heard this scripture before. I quote it all the time. But it's significant, and there's a reason why I bring it out. Romans 10, 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, what this teaches us is this is the only way faith's going to come in our life. Faith does not come by experience. Faith does not come by any of these other things. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But I want you to notice how Paul worded this, because I had this question for years, and I never understood it, but I just got recent understanding on it about a year ago. Why did Paul say it this way? Why did he say, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? Why didn't he just say, I mean, you know, Greg understands the proper ways of writing and things like this. Why didn't he just say, Greg, so then faith comes by hearing by the Word of God? Why didn't he just say, so then faith comes by hearing the Word of God? If that's what that meant, why did he say it this way? It's because you got to hear two different ways. You got to hear twice. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Go over to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. This is that scripture of why we have that passage, banner hanging up there. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. This is the scripture where this comes from. Exodus 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, 26. Moses was speaking to him. He says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who Rapha you. I am the Lord who heals you, the Lord your healer. So healing is not just what God does. Healing is who God is. He is a healer. So when you get around the healer, healing happens. That's why so much healing was happening in the ministry of Jesus. Why? Because he was only doing what he saw the Father doing, only saying what he heard the Father saying. So everywhere he went, I'm the express image of his person. So evidently, God, the express image of his person involves healing. Because everybody's getting healed everywhere he goes. Amen. So right here he's telling you how he was telling them how they could avoid having all these sicknesses and diseases that they experienced through the people in Egypt, and how they could experience and walk in the divine health of Jehovah Rapha. How could they do it? Well, notice what he says in the beginning part of the verse. If, say with me, say if. Did you know that if you have an if, you can have no, it's just, I mean, if you have an if, there is something there that you have a part to play in. It's not all up to God. If there is an if, You can have no, well, God's going to do whatever he wants to do. If you do something cooperating with him, this is what will happen. If you diligently heed. Now, the first thing he says here, if you diligently heed. Now, we just saw where Jesus said twice, take heed, right? Right here he says, diligently heed. Well, I looked this up one day, and I saw something pretty significant. I come to find out why this is translated diligently heed. Because in the Hebrew language, what they did to place emphasis on something, my wife, if you were here last night, one of her favorite scriptures is Isaiah 26:3, that says what? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Well, if you look up the words perfect peace there, it actually says in the Hebrew, shalom, shalom. Shalom twice. If he would have just put shalom once, he would have said, if he will keep you in peace whose heart, whose mind is set on him, right? But if he says shalom, shalom, they have to place some sort of emphasis because the word's mentioned twice. So that's why they say, this isn't just any peace. This is perfect peace. This is shalom, shalom. This is shalom to the second power. So we got to translate it some different way. It's perfect peace. That's the same thing that's being done in this scripture. Exodus 15:26. If you diligently heed. When you look it up in the Hebrew language, it says this. The word salim is used, which is the root word of shalom, which means to what? Salim means to hear. Okay? It means to hear. So listen to this. If it says to hear there, that would have just been if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. But that's not what it says. It says salim twice. So if you salim, salim the voice of the Lord your God. That's why he translated not just heed, but diligently heed. So what's he saying right here? If you hear and hear the voice of the Lord your God. And then he goes on to say, I'm the Lord who heals you. Wow. Why? Because when you hear and you hear, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's where the faith's going to come when you learn to hear, not just out here, but in here. Do I need to say that again? Because I know that was a lot of hears in here, okay? So listen to this. He said, when you learn to hear out here and hear in here, then that's when the faith comes to receive Jehovah Rapha.
Yep. That's right.
You're so welcome this morning. That was good stuff right there. That blessed me. Because this is how you get it. This is how you receive it. This is how you walk in it. It's by hearing and hearing, saliming and saliming, diligently heeding, taking heed what you hear, taking heed how you hear it. When you hear like that, it will produce change. It will get in the midst of your heart, and it will absolutely, drastically transform your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
One last scripture. Let's go over to 2 Peter. I really felt strong that I was supposed to bring this out. This is something that we usually don't talk too much about. Oh, thank you, Lord. What we're talking about today is how to get light, how to get understanding, how to get our light, spiritual light bulb turned on through hearing so that we can start some more receiving. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1. This is such a powerful verse right here because it shows you, you know, when I just made mention of that scripture in Romans 10:17 that says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I was sitting in a Sunday school class one time. I was on my first fast, never been on a fast before in my life, and I was very sensitive to the Lord at that moment. And I'm sitting in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher starts talking about, oh man, they were reading through all the different miracles that were happening in the wilderness with the children of Israel and the manna and the quail and the water out of the rock and all this different stuff. And the teacher just basically just threw his Bible down and just said, how did they keep doubting? How was it when they could see all these miracles? I mean, number one, they saw all the plagues on Egypt, and now they're seeing miracle after miracle after miracle in the wilderness. How could they doubt? And I didn't skip a beat. It just came right up out of my mouth. The Holy Ghost spoke to that group of people and said, it's because faith does not come by seeing signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, if you're wanting to get faith for something, you think, if I see a miracle, I'll start believing more in healing. If I see somebody's life totally change or something like that, I'll have more faith. That's a lie. It won't happen that way. And you know how I can prove that to you? Oh, we're going back to the rich man and Lazarus. Yeah, rich man and Lazarus, they're sitting there, and the rich man's like basically telling Abraham across this little gulf, this expanse that they had, and he said, hey, go send Lazarus to go tell my brothers about this and that, because they'll believe if somebody rises from the dead. What did Abraham say? He turns around and says, they have Moses and the prophets. They hear them, and they will not be convinced though one rise from the dead. What does that mean? If they're not willing to hear Moses and the prophets, which to them at that time was the word of God they had, if they're not willing to hear that, even somebody raising from the dead is not going to convince them. You ever notice that? You can have bona fide, notable miracles where it's substantiated by doctors and everything like that, and the unbelieving out there, it doesn't convince them. They write it off. Oh, it was psychosomatic. Oh, it was a happenstance. It was all that. Because that's not where faith comes from. Faith comes by having ears to hear what God's saying. Amen. So that's where it's going to come from. So don't be deceived into thinking, I'll have some faith if I see some miracles. You won't. You're only going to have faith when you learn to open up your spiritual ears to hear this. That's where it comes from. But notice this, 2 Peter 1, let's start in verse 16. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Or the King James says it this way, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now what's so awesome about this passage right here is it teaches you the validity of the Scriptures. Because what it's teaching you is, even though on the Mount of Transfiguration we saw the majesty on Him, His clothes when they were turned white as the snow, when we looked at that and we were like, man, He is the Son of God. Look, He is shining. The glory is shining out of Him. And then we heard the audible voice of God saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So they heard something and they saw something. But then He turns around and says in verse 19, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Meaning what? What's the most important and what really will yield faith in your life is not seeing the glory or hearing the voice of God. It's going to be you hearing the word of God. But this is what we miss. Most of the time we just stop at this part of the verse. Again, verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, or we have a more sure word of prophecy, which you do well. So he's talking about the Word of God here, isn't he? Because he goes on to say after this, we know that no prophecy is Scripture, verse 20. So he's talking about the Word of God. Which you do well to what? Heed. As a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. What does that mean? Well, I'm here to tell you, this is the powerful effect that the Word of God can have on you. When you have ears to hear the more sure word of prophecy and you're truly taking heed to it, it works like this, as a light that shines in a dark place. And actually the Greek word for light there is the word lamp. Lamp. Now we just read a scripture right before he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And for with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What did he say right before that? Who takes a lamp and hides it under a bed, but doesn't put it up on the lampstand so it can bring light to all the house? Okay, so we're seeing the same thing. See, you can tell when you read Peter's writings how he was a disciple of Jesus. Because if you're well-versed in what Jesus taught in the Gospels, and then you read Peter's writings, he's repeating him verbatim on a lot of things, example after example after example. So what he's saying right here is, it's that lamp that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, if you were to ask most Christians, what's the morning star? They will say what? Jesus. Jesus is likened to the morning star. Well, this could not be the second coming of Jesus. You know why? Because where does he say this morning star will rise? In your hearts, not in the east. Amen. So, but Jesus is the Word. So how about this? How about when you start listening to the more sure word of prophecy and you truly have ears to hear, you're hearing and you're hearing the word of God, taking heed to what you hear, taking heed to how you hear it, what happens? It will produce the same effect that Jesus was teaching in that little parable, baby, of where the lamp will be put on the lampstand and it will begin to produce light and shine it in your heart and give understanding to the simple, and the entrance of his words brings light in your heart, which will produce life in your body and medicine to all your stinking flesh. Amen. This is what the word will do when you hear it the right way. It takes effect like that. Light springs forth and Jesus starts to rise in your heart. You start to see who he is and who he said he is and all his promises, and this starts to rise in your heart. More light comes in. It expels the darkness out of you, all the lies, all the doubt, all the unbelief, and you start to see the light, and guess what happens? That's where the truth comes in, and the truth makes you free. Amen. Free physically. Free mentally. Free emotionally. This is the power of the Word of God. So now you got, if anybody ever asks you, why do we do so much teaching and preaching at High Point Church? We just find out because we want that lamp to shine in the dark place so that the morning star starts rising in people's hearts and they start believing and they start hearing, believing, and receiving the Word of God. Amen. Come on up, Doreen. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Lord, for the truth, the promise concerning healing. Oh, Lord, we declare before you today. Y'all repeat after me. Say, Lord, I have ears to hear. I have ears to hear. I have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, what the Word is saying. And Lord, if I've allowed my heart to be hardened, to be desensitized, I turn it over to you now. Creating me a clean heart, a hearing heart, so that I can hear from you and light can come and I can feel my healing. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Robert, if you'll come on down.